A great prize is at stake, Glaucon, greater than people realize for being good rather than bad. We shouldn't be led by success, money, power, or even poetry into neglecting justice or virtue in general. After what we've said today, I agree, so would anyone else, I imagine. And that's without even mentioning the greatest of the rewards and prizes which are on offer for virtue. Greater than we can imagine, you must mean, if there are other rewards greater than the ones we've described. Nothing great can happen in a short space of time, I said, and presumably, compared with eternity, our whole span of time from childhood to old age is a short space of time. A mere nothing, he said. Well then, do you think something which is immortal should be seriously interested in this short period of time and not in the whole of time? No, I think it should be interested in the whole of time. What are you getting at? This. That the soul is something immortal is a conclusion we might be driven to both by this recent argument and by other arguments. But if we want to know what it's really like, we shouldn't look at it in the form we currently see it in, crippled by its partnership with the body and other evils. No, Glaucon, we should be looking in a different direction. Which direction? He said. We should look to the soul's love of wisdom. We should bear in mind what it clings to, the kind of company it yearns for, since it is kin to that which is divine, immortal, and always existing, and what it could become if it devoted itself entirely to this. Then you would see the soul's true nature, whether it is complex or simple, or however exactly it is. For the moment, however, I think we have given an adequate description of the things that can happen to it, the shapes it can assume in human life. We certainly have, he said. There you are, then, I said. In the course of our discussion, we have removed the various objections to our claim. We haven't had to resort to the rewards and reputation of justice, as you were saying Homer and Hesiod did. Haven't we found that the thing itself, justice, is best for the soul itself, and that the soul should do what is just, whether or not it possesses the ring of Gyges, or even the ring of Gyges and the cap of Hades? Very true, we have. In which case, Glaucon, can there still be any objection to our going further, and restoring to justice and the rest of virtue the great rewards which they characteristically bring to the soul during a man's lifetime? No, no objection, he said. But these are nothing, I said, in number or magnitude when compared with the rewards and punishments which await the just and the unjust after death. You ought to hear those too, if each is to receive in full the payment the argument owes him. Please tell us, he said. I can think of few things I'd rather hear about.